All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. I'm Keith, here as always with John and Chuck. Guys, how are you doing?
Hi, John Burr. Had some good bacteria for breakfast.
Probiotic?
That is true. Probiotic, I feel like that's like a Daft Punk song.
Yeah.
Like,
probiotic. Probiotic. Do it faster, probiotic.
I don't like it, and I'll tell you why I don't like it.
The song or the probiotic?
Both.
Okay.
But more the probiotics, because...
Is this just like a packet of yeast you're pouring in your mouth?
It is a...
Forgive me for not knowing exactly what a probiotic is.
It looks like purple drink.
Scissor.
And the reason it's disturbing to me, it smelled fine at first to me when I first would drink it, but now I've noticed that it smells exactly the same way when it enters and when it exits your body.
Oh.
So now when
no,
I drink it,
no one likes that.
It well, doesn't smell fine.
Sometimes you want your deposits and your withdrawals to smell alike. It's occasional.
I really don't, though. Okay. I just don't.
Maybe.
Ever.
Maybe.
Let's move on to another breakfast food. That was a strong way to start the podcast.
Appetizing.
Yeah. Chuck, what'd you eat for breakfast?
I had chicken and gravy biscuit taco from Taco Bell.
What are you talking about?
A biscuit taco?
Yeah, it has chicken. It has a chicken, fried chicken cutlet and some gravy.
Where's the biscuit?
There are no cutlets at Taco Bell.
It's actually... Yeah, it's probably not a cutlet. It's actually... A biscuit turned into a taco.
It wasn't even really chicken. It was tilapia.
Yeah.
It's like a hammered flat biscuit. It's now a...
No, what they do is they take biscuit dough and they fry it in the shape of a U, which would be a taco shape. And then they stuff it with chicken.
A taco-shaped biscuit.
Then probably pre-frozen gravy that came that they heated up.
No.
And then slid all over it.
That's amazing.
It makes me happy.
Is it available 24 hours a day?
I don't know if they have.
Are they open to 3?
Know when their breakfast starts. I ate it at 9:45 today.
You got there like 15 minutes before full falling down mode.
Oh, so beautiful.
I thought my idle excrement chatter was foul. I think Chuck may have.
That's a debate.
No, I think
it's
we
real debatable. We, who was more disgusting, John or I? Breakfast.
We look forward to hearing about Chuck's breakfast fast food adventures the same way I look forward to watching the Sixers play basketball.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Just wrong.
Are we back there again?
Well, for breakfast, I think I've had it before. I'm actually still working through the same box of oatmeal Raisin Crisp.
Muesli?
Or maybe just, again, it would just raise it oatmeal crisp.
You don't like yourself.
Well, Trader Joe brand?
I mean,
you're punishing yourself.
You could perforate a
compared
colon.
To you guys. I feel like I won breakfast.
Ours,
really?
Ugh. Look, I think I'm the only one who won because I enjoyed it.
I understand Chuck's like as a sort of like sick, twisted, guilty pleasure of like.
Yeah, that's true.
And then mine is because I'm dying.
Yep.
And because my old lady needs for me to eat these things,
yeah,
drink these things in this fashion.
You're just trying to make it till June and watch the make it through the NBA finals.
I just want to know how that box of stuff gets into your house.
I bought it once. No, I do like it. I will not apologize for enjoying oatmeal crisp cereal.
Well, what a lot of people don't.
A lot of brown sugar. A lot of flavors.
It's actually
heart healthy.
It
has a little heart on there.
Yeah. I have a friend who
not like you guys would know about that.
Nope.
My old lady cries at Lipitor commercials.
Let's move on to basketball.
Okay.
Grape nuts.
All right. So we start after our extended breakfast talk. We start every week with the thing we call the breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong on previous podcasts. Does anybody want to go first?
I'll apologize to the rest of the field in the 3-point contest because Steph Curry and Kyle Korver are coming at you.
It is the highlight of NBA Saturday night. And I don't know if it's just that way for basketball nerds, because the dunk contest has been atrocious for years.
Yeah.
Unwatchable. I have, incomprehensible.
I have an idea for the dunk contest.
Yes.
Synchronized dunking. You get side-by-side hoops, and it's like a show. Like four hoops. So like a team has to do choreographed moves simultaneously
to music. I just think
music.
They should... Every dunker... should draft another NBA player that has to play defense against their dunk attempt.
Oh, yeah.
Because that would be amazing.
Somebody would die.
I'll take Team of Females Golf.
Yeah. Ave, did you see that kid challenge LeBron to the dunk contest for Boys and Girls Club money?
I did not.
Yeah, this little kid put a thing on the internet. It's really a viral campaign for some empty, soulless charity that's probably not going to give any money.
Using a bastardized form of the transitive property, can I then infer that you enjoy synchronized swimming?
Oh, I do. Yeah, who wouldn't? It's beautiful.
It's a majestic expression of human movement.
Incredibly difficult to achieve and takes time, proper teamwork, and effort, and a big pool. You need a really big pool.
Yeah, that's good. Chuck, do you have an apology?
Yeah, David Blatt, man, I'm sorry, dude, but you're not going to have a job soon. You're out of work.
You think?
I don't care if you won a few games. They're winning in spite of you, and to spite you, perhaps. I think LeBron has engineered a secret mutiny.
I thought we turned a corner when LeBron looked at him during a timeout.
No.
That was like big news.
Yeah, but then
LeBron looked at his coach during a timeout.
They're beating the brakes off people now, too. They're playing well.
Yeah, but that's LeBron's, it takes a while to get the Jaguar hormones out of your system, and that's what that little break was for him. He needed to just recalibrate, and he has fresh legs in February or at the end of January, which is hard. This is the deadest part of the year. It's when everybody's really hitting that wall.
Everybody's getting
February.
The flu.
Yeah.
This seems poorly timed to me. Because I think the Cavs look very good as of late.
No, yeah, I don't care. This
apology might be apologized for.
No, I'll never.
in 7 days.
I honestly think he's not going to be there next year. I think it's like a game of chicken, and LeBron's winning, showing he's doing things like just playing point guard for a game and not asking his coach.
Yeah.
You know, he did that. And when you, it's a usurping in a direct way. And all of the mutiny stuff that occurred behind the scenes that were reported on wouldn't have happened if the MVP four-time whatever MVP does what he's supposed to do. So
your apology is almost you're offering your sympathies to
and
David Blatt.
Yeah, and he got hit by a basketball and looked like he'd never seen a basketball.
That was concerning.
There's
a video of a wayward pass flying over to the sideline, and he reacts like an uncoordinated child
it was
or
like,
something who didn't know how to put his hands up, who just went like, woo! And crouched and looks really... It's like he didn't know it was a basketball. He thought maybe it was a brick.
Right.
He comes from the Doug Moe school of basketball players who clearly weren't good at basketball.
Yeah.
Basketball coaches, rather.
That was surprising.
It was like a scene from Saved by the Bell where, like, they were playing volleyball and Screech
Maybe that's just some PTSD from his time in Israel. Maybe he saw some things over in Gaza.
Possibly.
Because, he reacted like it was an RPG coming at him.
Yeah, like, I think he might have flashback to the West Bank.
He definitely, I don't know what his worst case scenario was. He should have known it's a basketball. Anyway, yeah.
He does kind of look like an extra from Munich.
Good.
Mossad killer. He's a code breaker. Bomb builder.
Yeah. There's other things he looks like, but I don't want to be labeled.
Whoa!
All right, I'm about to do my apology.
Better shave that beard.
I knew we were going to apologize, or I knew I was going to apologize last week when we were naming our all-star, our potential all-star teams, or who we thought should make it.
Should have gone four Hawks.
Yeah, So my apology is to both Al Horford and Jeff Teague, who I realized should make it, but I didn't want to put four Hawks in. Most egregiously, I think it was a sham on my part. I think the listeners expect more from us. And despite doing, I felt some due diligence. I don't know. I think I was wrong. I was distracted.
We were all wrong, Keith.
But basically, since last week when I decided perhaps Nick Vucevic on that garbage Magic team should make it over Al Horford, because I thought Al Horford's maybe defense had slipped, maybe wasn't that crucial of a player. One, this week he shot 70% from the field. He's shooting 86% on the road.
Ooh.
This week. But anyway, Al Horford, yes, you're there. I picked Brandon Knight because I thought Brandon Knight, he shoots a high volume of three-pointers at a good percentage, a better percentage than Jeff Teague, and he provides scoring punch for a Milwaukee team that otherwise doesn't have much scoring punch. However, just embrace it. Four Hawks need to be on this all-star team.
I said it.
So Jeff Teague, I'm sorry. Yeah, so Al Horford, Jeff Teague, you guys should definitely be all-stars. I think you will be. I'm worried that Korver is going to be the guy who gets the this shaft when the coaches name their all-star reserves.
I think when Korver gets the sit, when Korver gets the snub, you'll really see the disconnect between the quote-unquote in-the-know blogging community and like people who pay a lot of attention to the statistics in basketball to just what everyone else feels.
Well, and you know, these coaches, I don't know how much research a lot of them are doing.
Right.
I don't know how much a lot of the...
I don't think Ty Corbin's doing very much.
Right. Like, I don't know. Like,
I don't think Ty Corbin can read.
And we know Popovich doesn't even watch film.
No.
He said that many times.
Yeah.
And why would he?
Yeah. He's got other people to do that.
That's an affront to his military training.
So those are... So those are our apologies. Now, what's the most exciting thing? The steak and eggs best thing. What's your favorite thing from this week?
Well, you just mentioned Coach Popovich.
Oh, yeah?
Who probably had the greatest interaction with a reporter in a pregame show not too long ago. It was him being asked about the Utah Jazz.
Right.
And basically being told, you know, this is a verbatim exchange, and I'll go ahead and read it to you guys. Since the last time you saw the Jazz, they've been playing 500 ball. What have you noticed about them? Have they improved? Pop, I haven't watched them. Have you scouted them or anything? No, I don't do that. Do you know anything at all? And Popovich says, I know that two sides of an isosceles triangle are equal. And that's...
I love that guy.
Why he is the head of a multi... It does tie into an old conspiracy theory I have.
Right.
He is a puppet for the Bilderbergs and the Illuminati.
Yeah, that joke was on the square, right, so to speak. That was a Freemason crack.
It was a Freemason crack. See? It's dead on. And, you know, he's not even a disciple of the triangle offense.
It's true. Know? No, it was a great quote. And also, and he said a couple months ago, someone asked him about watching game film, and he said, like, I don't watch game film. And they're like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah, like, I have assistants who watch game film, but the other team's not my problem. As soon as my offense doesn't commit any turnovers and shoots, I think he said 60% from the field, then maybe I'll get to watching game tape. Right. But there's still things I can fix. So
right.
He's a neat guy. He does his own thing, well, and he does it better than almost anybody.
Yeah, and it's that's kind of the military way. It's kind of like a, you know, separation of duties and hierarchy, and you know, there isn't a need for the colonel of of a military base to be out with troops marching them. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah. John, you got
a... There is a need for Boris Diaw to eat all of the Colonel Sanders chicken that he can between games. Between quarters.
I would have went with Crepe Suzette's or...
I love
there's KFCs in France, baby.
They are.
I love when Boris Diaw was drafted by the Hawks, right? When he was drafted, mm-hmm. I'm almost certain when his position was listed at point guard.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, when he was drafted, it was, like, point guard France, you know, like, and I was like, oh, okay. And then he's definitely just morphed. He kept gaining weight. I mean, he was kind of like a point forward-ish.
He has
almost
such...
a three, and then he became kind of a five. He's playing the center spot in Phoenix, and then he kept gaining weight, but he's still real good.
Yeah, how did he fit in on that 7 seconds or less run until you die Phoenix team?
He was skinny then.
Yeah. Wow, man, the only thing more beautiful than Boris Diaw's passing are his
I love fat basketball players.
Me
They're
too.
My favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Oliver Miller forever.
Oh.
Tractor Trailer.
Oof.
Marc Gasol's had some good fatty years.
Oliver Miller back in the day with his soft hands yeah. and just a sweet touch.
Shamir Nelson.
Yeah.
Hot Plate Williams.
Raymond Felton.
Oh, Raymond.
Nah,
fat
just
one.
That's the exception to the rule.
Khalid yeah. Alamine.
Yeah, oh, that, he never caught
he's
on.
So fat, though. He's so fat.
He was.
Magic's... post-AIDS announcement bloat was kind of intense.
It got dark right there. got real dark right there.
I don't know. He's very healthy. It's good.
He's going to live longer than all of us. Yeah. So I don't know why we're laughing at him.
Right.
The cure for AIDS is $1 billion.
Yep.
John, you got a best?
I just said it. Post-AIDS magic bloat is the best of the week.
On the fly.
My best is the, this happens every year. Anthony Davis goes down and Alexis Ajinka has three double-doubles in a row and then returns to obscurity. He's like Grendel's mother.
He's now the
he comes out, wreaks havoc, kills all the Vikings, returns. Hrothgar comes back. Everything's fine.
He's the poor man's Gobert.
He and Rudy Gobert are identical.
Even though he predates Gobert.
Yes,
but he is now the poor man's Gobert.
Yes, he's like the original Gobert. He's the Arvidas Sabonis to the Gasols of the world.
That's really good. My best thing is the Brandon Jennings stat line.
It's not the points.
24 points with 21 assists. That's
the first 20 assist game in like years in the NBA.
Yeah, there've been a handful.
Rondo did it in 2012.
I think that was the last one.
Yeah.
So it's
Jalen Rose did it.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out.
What?
That's weird.
Yeah. I couldn't even imagine because
did you do it while eating hot dogs on the bench?
Yeah.
Or saying champagne campaign.
Yeah.
You could.
But anyway, just screaming, yeah. Period.
Brandon Jennings, who just been having, he's been on a tear. He had one pretty awful game this week against the Hawks, but bounced back and playing a less than impressive defensive squad of the Orlando Magic, who have no rim protectors. Thanks, yeah. Nick Vucevic.
He did it with Elfrid Payton on him.
He did it great. No,
Elfrid Payton's no slouch.
21 assists is remarkable. And again, it turns around that, an impressive turnaround for the Detroit Pistons.
Stan Van.
That almost, I guess, and, you know, obviously their turnaround sparked by releasing Josh Smith. My almost best thing would have been in Wednesday night's Rockets-Warriors game when Josh Smith was ejected and they were down like 26. Mm-hmm. They came back and cut it to 10. And if they'd come all the way back in just a fourth quarter, uh-huh, that would have been my best thing.
Yeah. Here's the true measure of a fall from grace. At the beginning of the season, in the video game, NBA 2K15, Josh Smith was an 86 overall with a C+ three-pointing and three-point shooting. Now, as the rosters update, 74 D- in three-pointers.
Yikes.
That's the true measure of a man. That's Michael Vick after he killed those dogs.
Allegedly.
He electrocuted them.
I'm pretty sure he did it.
Yeah. I don't
actually.
I think the legal course ran. I think we can say he did it.
Yeah, because he went to jail. Right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right. So that was our steak and eggs best thing. Now the opposite. What is the opposite thing? The cream of wheat. Worst of week.
I'm gonna go with post AIDS cocktail Magic Johnson bloat.
I think if we made it a goal not to say AIDS anymore.
Can we just call him the AZT Magic? AZT Magic? Good grief. Okay, yeah, no, let's talk about Magic.
He's fine. Cookie's fine. Everyone's fine.
Not only is he going to outlive us, he's going to live forever, and he's going to be rich forever. He's going
to
buy America.
He knows when to open those movie theaters. That's it. He's so good at opening movie theaters.
Dude, he owns like 8 Starbucks, like 12 Applebee's. He's not just in the movie game.
I watched Black Knight in one of those Harlem movie theaters he owns.
Oh, yeah, so. The one in like 125th Street.
Yeah, so.
Is that really your worst again?
No, my worst. I'm scared that my worst is probably the same as your worst and the same as your worst because no, the 76ers played the Knicks and sat their best players. 1 week after you espouse their virtues, they've upped the ante yet again.
They played hard. Well,
they sat their two best players.
Look at it.
Out-tanked the tankingest team.
Look at it from their perspective.
Ugh.
They're like, their management's like, we've won like 4 out of 10.
Slow down, baby.
We're 4-6 on our last 10. We're third from the bottom. Like
the brakes.
Yeah. Like we're in this to get a top pick. Right. They want that Okafor. So it's like
it almost didn't work. They still almost won.
Yeah, Langston Galloway messed everything up for the Knicks.
That name shouldn't ever be spoken on this podcast again. Langston Galloway.
Hey, he signed another 10-day and had another 20-20-day. No,
20-20-20.
20 points on 20% shooting.
That's a good
Langston
standard.
Galloway is that's a heartwarming story to me.
End of story?
Yeah.
I call him
the Langostino lobster bite.
Oh, wow.
All right, my worst thing
is a fast food joke for you, Chuck.
My worst thing is the not specifically attached to this last week. It's the epidemic of gray jerseys. I don't like the gray alternate jerseys. I might just be really picky. I feel like two teams should be allowed to wear gray. One is the San Antonio Spurs.
And the Georgetown Hoyas.
Because their colors are black and gray, or black and silver.
Right.
And they look good. It matches their court. Those are fine. The only other team that should have an alternate gray...
This better be an age joke.
The only other team that should be allowed to wear gray is the Minnesota Timberwolves. Because wolves are gray. And they do have an alternate gray that's yet to be released. So they're not even wearing gray yet.
It's true.
Everybody else needs to quit it. It looks dumb.
What about Brooklyn?
You're supposed to have a... No. They can wear black or white because those are the colors they've chosen.
Okay.
They did not choose gray.
You can't get me started
these
on
Celtics
Brooklyn's
grays,
uniforms.
Oh, so awful.
Brooklyn's uniforms are like when you used to create a team in a really old bad video game and you couldn't even...
You didn't know how to import a logo.
Yeah, you couldn't do anything, so you just had to be black and white with a basketball.
Yeah. I guess the only update on the Nets jerseys is they have hipster font options, which the old video games didn't have. I will say, so when a team wears... I don't know if you guys have noticed this. This is next level observations.
Mm-hmm.
When a team wears gray, have you guys noticed what the referees do?
No.
Because the referees' jerseys are gray.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So...
Does Violet Palmer finally wear violet?
No. So you watch this in the games where one of the teams is wearing gray.
You're turning violet.
The refs have to go to an alternate uniform, which look just like Starfleet uniforms.
Oh, badass.
Because they just have black shoulders. They add black shoulders to their already gray thing. So they're wearing like the Star Trek Next Generation things with like the black shoulders and gray things. So anyway, I just think all teams wear... I mean, I'm kind of a traditionalist. I want a team to wear white. And a team to wear a color.
I am taking the other tact. If it is going to result in Starfleet refs,
okay, so
engage.
So now you like it.
Yes, everyone wear gray.
Although
both sides.
Set your phasers.
Although
to
I
gray.
Would like it if maybe if those referees did have Starfleet jerseys, if like the older ones had maybe like the red uniforms.
Oh no, red means dead.
Oh yeah, red. It's the red. Means the red dead. Shirt is the thing.
Yeah, although you will die.
I was just thinking in my head of Riker, and he wore red. Picard wore red.
Yeah,
but they weren't.
I guess in the original Star Trek, that was where the red shirts was death.
The red shirts died.
Red shirts die. Anyway,
you put yellow on like a Bennett Salvatore.
Yeah.
You got to put like the sexy Deanna Troi stuff on Violet Palmer, though.
I'd put Joey Crawford get a good little green.
I thought you were going to make a real.
There is no green.
Yeah, there is. What's her name? Didn't Whoopi Goldberg wear green in there?
Guinan's not an officer.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah, she's not even in
why did I even go into this? All right. I entered a world.
Why'd you come into my...
Let's
do not come into this house.
I got slapped down.
Let's steer out of the sky.
You got Matumbo'd.
I got my worst.
You got a worst, Chuck.
Okay.
Is it related to Star Trek?
No, okay. I wish. Although the person we were talking about could have a name that would work in Star Trek. What do you guys, the three of us in this room, and Rajon Rondo have in common?
Can't shoot free throws.
Close. It's related. You're very close. We all have something in common.
Oh, yeah?
A little game of scones thrown in.
You got to take us out at the end of games.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
We've all made the same amount of free throws this year. The three of us and Rajon Rondo, 3 weeks into January, have all hit no free throws. So that's something.
Rajon.
That is fantastic.
So he is the worst. He's not for lack of attempts. He's done a
how many does he have?
Oh, man. Let me see. I have it here.
Is it double digits?
I don't even think it's double digits. But
he doesn't even really try to score anymore.
No.
And I wouldn't either if I had this year's Dirk Nowitzki. Just give it to him. Let him do his magic.
Yeah.
Nowitzki is out of control this year. I don't understand it.
I don't have the numbers, but yeah, it's he just still hasn't made... He's a point guard who's ball heavy, and he's constantly going to the rim, but never getting fouled. And it's
terrible.
The leaping jump pass.
Yeah.
The very opposite of that, which actually we haven't said, and knowing how much I like statistical kind of quirks or interesting things, Jared Bayless is shooting 98.5% free throws this year.
It's crazy.
That's amazing. He's shooting 99%. That's
insane.
Yeah. Well, sun shines on a dog's ass every now and again.
Yeah, might be an unsustainable business model there.
It is true. I mean, he's a solid free throw shooter.
Yeah.
Not getting a ton of attempts, but still, 99% is awesome no matter how you cut it.
That is the Taco Bell breakfast unsustainable business model.
Biscuit taco.
Biscuit taco. Brought
good
to you by the biscuit
Lord.
Taco. Biscuit and gravy taco.
All right. Those are some good cream of wheats.
Yeah. Right. That's like astronaut food. You were eating astronaut food.
It's true. Oh, that was also the Velveeta and...
Did it come with Tang?
No, it didn't. But there
what
was,
about Dippin' Dots?
But a monkey handed it to me.
Ah!
John doesn't like monkeys.
Right. Does anyone?
I love monkeys.
Have you seen what a chimp can do to a woman's face?
I have. It makes them so much more interesting to me. Because they could love you and kill you in any given moment.
They will take your face off of your skull.
I like the energy in the room today. You guys are very out there.
We're off topic.
I don't know. It's fine. I mean, it's good. It's a kind of a bleary, overcast winter's day. So I like the light of your imaginations.
Our imaginations are running wild.
It's the probiotic Milwaukee's Beast light combo. It's a deadly cocktail.
All right. Now
I have post-cocktail bloat after that.
Let's get to our presented by Waffle House, our scattered, covered, smothered, or whatever the order
scattered,
is.
Scattered, smothered, and covered. We're going to take you to Waffle House.
Are you going to take me to Waffle House?
Do a podcast from Waffle House.
Can we? Can we do a podcast from Waffle House?
We probably could.
Only if you hit on the waitresses, Chuck, or the cooks.
Done.
Yeah. All right. So these are our scattered thoughts. What are some, are there any other things we saw this week?
I saw Jimmer Fredette.
play meaningful minutes.
No, but he had a jump ball against KJ McDaniels when they were playing Philly. He didn't even jump. He just watched him.
Oh, I thought that was going to be a great underdog story.
Not at all. Jump ball against a highly superior athlete who was 5 inches taller, and he just kept his hands on his shorts and watched him.
I think Kyle Korver, he won a jump ball in the last 15 seconds of a game against someone like Jimmy Butler. I can't remember who it was.
I was just about to bring it up.
Kyle Korver had a game-winning jump. It was a while ago.
Kyle Korver also had a dunk, his first dunk in 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, this is a Twitter reporting. Apparently, he rewatched the game with his wife, and in reaction to his dunk, his wife said, "I'm so glad you're good at the things you actually do on a basketball court." So, like, yeah, that's... Goes without saying, that's pretty funny. Pretty funny from the wife. I'll say Kawhi Leonard, he's an impactful basketball player.
Yes.
He helps the San Antonio Spurs. That's next level analysis.
That's good. That's good analysis.
Hot
right
take.
There.
Last year when he was out and then returned,
right,
the Spurs won 19 in a row.
Yes.
So this year he's come back. They now won 3 in a row. That's a baby streak.
Only 16 more to go.
But it does seem clear now.
Oh, they look
Kawhi Leonard is a helpful basketball player.
They look terrifying again. The narrative has changed instantly from, well, I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, to how badly will they beat the Golden State Warriors in a 7-game series.
Yeah, right. Or the Memphis Grizzlies.
How quickly things change. But, I mean, it was kind of a slammed week of basketball. My head spins trying to...
We actually didn't get... We were hoping there'd be more trades. There really weren't.
There was supposed to be Brolo.
Looks like Brooke Lopez was getting moved.
Nope. I still think he is. I think they're just holding out to see what they can get.
They can try to get better.
And don't overlook the Pablo Prigioni for second round pick rumors.
Ugh.
Skyle Miles Plumlee's available.
Yeah, well, and also, why would anybody be in a rush to trade with Brooklyn when ownership's bailing? And it's going to be a fire sale, whoever picks up the next, whoever buys the team next. So, you know, why are you going to jump into that?
That's going to be a tough sell because he's selling the team but not selling the arena.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a situation to watch.
That arena was built on some kind of manifest destiny steal from the natives type.
Well, there was
like you do.
Land grab.
Yeah, well, and what the ugliest part about it all is they recruit, you know, a guy from the neighborhood, Jay-Z, call him an owner, give him like a tenth of a percent.
He has like a tenth of a percentage.
He doesn't even own it anymore because he left to be a agent.
He just gets free drinks.
Yeah, no, well, he paid $300,000.
Right.
Which is basically what your courtside, that's cheap courtside seats. If you're thinking for a season ticket.
Well, so infinitesimally small right now.
That will buy you a lot of courtside seats. Just saying.
No, I mean, okay, so think about
it. Not for his entourage.
42 games, he gets 4 seats.
Aren't that like 3 grand?
42 games.
I guess so, yeah.
Three seats.
You're right.
Mother Mary, how many seats would Justin Timberlake have to buy at Grizz games to equal that?
The 300,000?
Yeah.
A lot.
Is that all of them?
I'm going to say...
Every courtside seat
purchased. I'm
going to
say you could get a courtside seat at a Grizzly game for 10 grand a year.
Good Lord. He's going to have to ride a few more suit and ties.
For the whole year?
I'm going to say for $250 a game, you can sit on the floor.
Yeah. Grit, grind.
Maybe, yeah. maybe less.
No, I just
let me call my guy. Let me call my guy. We'll see what they
floor side seats in Miami, I know for sure, were like $5,000 when LeBron were there. Like in
oh,
like
that's probably true. February. Yeah, it could be true.
$250 in Memphis is like $6,000 in Miami, though.
Yeah, it's like most people's mortgage.
It's a very different community. What are Pistons courtside seats like 50 cent?
Well, I mean,
do you get a free house with your seat?
I think you can buy the actual arena.
No, you can.
$300,000.
It's on Airbnb. You can actually Airbnb the entire palace. What is it called? Palace at Auburn Hills.
The Malice of the Palace.
I think they is it still the Palace?
They should have renamed it. If they hadn't, since then they should have. I don't even know anymore.
You guys know it, man. I was
for
just thinking.
$60, you get a mortgage, a courtside seat, and a signed
and the silver dome,
signed 8x10 of RoboCop
to play GM for 6 weeks.
If the NBA season was only a month old, not only will we have four Hawks in the All Star game, we'd have three Pistons.
Yeah,
I mean Greg Monroe, Drummond, and Brandon Knight.
Yeah,
unquestionable.
If you only
All-stars.
Took the last month of play.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
They've really been unbelievable.
And Hassan Whiteside, for sure. Oh, RIP Whiteside.
Wow.
Oh, RIP.
Grade 2 ankle sprain.
Well, that was an exciting 2-podcast run.
Dude.
He was playing well in that game.
And he was 5-for-5 with like 5 dunks a block.
Oh.
In like 10 minutes. And yeah,
the old grade 2.
Hassan, no.
We'll see how it goes. The kid's a knucklehead. I like it, but he just... He needs to get his junk checked because he was running his mouth about the Kings, about how they passed on him.
Probiotics coming up.
I know. Look, guys, I know it's not hip to be a Miami Heat fan anymore, but I'm just that, so I'm going to go ahead and talk about
it. Are you feeling bad that the Cavs are finally, you tried to apologize to Blatt to get him like negative, but they're coming together.
Chuck sounds a little scorned.
They're
right
crushing
now.
People.
Look, a week ago, week ago, he was getting fired.
Exactly.
I was a little late.
Keith, I'm not the producer, but this seems like a...
Are you feeling scorned? I mean, your white knight of... Your savior Whiteside is now down for the count.
Technically a black knight.
And you've got nothing...
So
Whiteside knight?
Whiteside, white knight. Come on, Burr. This isn't about race.
I think based on the look on Chuck's face, which
Whitlock
the
right
listener
now.
Can't see, it's forlorn. This might be time for a one of our favorite recurring segments... We call this a scorned Heat fan texts a friend.
It's like a dream, man. Doesn't feel real.
Keep your chin up, Chuck.
Last night, I had a vision. Carmelo in a Heat uniform.
If you keep this up, I'm gonna slap you like Don Corleone.
You're right.
And there you have it. A scorned Heat fan texts a friend.
Real, actual texts sent from Chuck to me during that summer we'll never forget.
Leap the Cavs. So you're gonna do it anyway.
I'm gonna do it, yeah. So. To take some of the, some, I don't know, the punch away, but
the work
but still,
out of it for
bleep the Cavs, indeed.
Bleep them.
Yeah, that's sad. Chuck texting John with some optimism of maybe some free agents that could be.
I do have free agents.
Let's be real. You didn't want Carmelo.
Well,
no,
looking back now, I don't. I mean, then yeah, hindsight.
It's funny. So.
He sent me about 60 variations of the single text. Mello? Question mark?
Mello. Yeah. What about Mello?
Would Mello come?
Mello? You think Mello would? Mello?
He might. My other thing, I was really infatuated with Eric Bledsoe for like 2 weeks.
I think, yeah. He's an intriguing guy.
Yeah. I like him a lot, but I don't know. He's not really...
He's a turnover machine,
dominating.
But he also has games where you're just like, that guy's awesome.
Yeah.
He is... His defense is... Certainly game-changing, but his offense still has a long way to go.
Yep.
He messed with Dame Lillard the other night pretty severely and cost me some money.
That was a really good game, the Trailblazers-Suns.
Yes.
Where if the Suns had lost that, combined with two of their other really heartbreaking losses, the buzzer beater to the Clippers and the buzzer beater to the Bucks, I was like, those are three just crushing losses when they need every single game to hopefully hold off the Thunder.
Yeah.
No one's holding off the Thunder.
It's true. The dunk contest nominees were named, or competitors were named.
I think Commissioner Slugworth has been listening.
Yeah,
our pleas were heard. We got Depot and Levine,
which is important. The other two, we got two big guys. Mm-hmm.
Giannis.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Miles Plumlee.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like big guys.
No, is it Miles? Oh, that's Mason.
One of them. It doesn't matter. They're interchangeable.
The Nets one, right? The blonde one?
It could be Miles, Mason, or... Well, don't that's they have Mason. Another one?
Yep.
Miles, yeah, yeah, but Mason. I'm saying, isn't that the one in the dunk
it
contest?
It is. It's Mason Plumlee. Okay. Who was awesome in dunk contests back in high school.
But big guys, it's so hard to win unless you do the Dwight Howard.
It's just not as impressive.
It doesn't look as good.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, wow, you jumped the next...
I will say Zach LaVine... in the value added metric, which like Steph Curry leads the league with like +7, Zach LaVine is a -7.
Ugh.
which it's a good way of saying Zach LaVine is as bad at basketball as Steph Curry is as good at basketball. So that's just a way to understand that.
That is something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As good of a season as the probable or maybe current leader in the MVP race is having, that's how much Zach takes away from your team.
When you've been overthrown by Mo Williams, you got some splaining to do.
Yeah.
He's a baby. Give him time. I'm not going to know for another year if he's anything.
It's true.
You know, it's hard to make that transition, and he isn't getting the minutes, and he does make mistakes.
Oh, he's getting the minutes.
I've heard he was bad. He wasn't the best player on UCLA. Again, I don't watch college. I'll have to defer to someone else.
No, it's a slave trade. But I think you're talking about a kid who's just athletically ridiculous, and you do something with him. Figure it out.
That's true.
You know? You don't get those kind of athletes, every day. So just
let me put it in perspective for you, Chuck. Do you remember a player named Harold Miner?
I do. He was really good.
This isn't Baby Jordan we're talking about. This is Baby Miner.
Oh man, it's a pretty harsh comparison.
But there you have it.
Yeah, I'm pretty much
a
in love
friend
with him,
yells so. At a scorned Heat fan yeah. on a podcast.
Yeah. I guess I'll wrap up the scattered, smothered, covered. I got it.
Got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, scattered, smothered, covered.
Yes! With, 12 podcasts, guys. 12
last,
podcasts.
Last week, I thought that there was a good chance that Tayshaun Prince would be a Clipper by now.
No.
That man played real minutes as a Celtic.
He's a throwback.
Embrace it. Oh, I guess we can. Last Thursday, Doc Rivers traded for his son, Austin. Yeah. And the early returns.
We talked about it.
Well, but no games have been played.
Yeah.
Right. We now saw some games when the early returns are poor.
He's probably the worst player in the NBA.
It's uncomfortable to watch.
He's bad.
Uncomfortable.
What must dinner at the Rivers household be like?
Awkward.
Pass the peas.
Silent.
Maybe.
Was that like a passing of the peas, John? You said the
pass the peas, Mbutu.
Oh, oh, peas.
Peas.
Oh, okay. What if, you know, green peas?
What if Austin caught his dad cheating and like, look, dude.
That must be what happened.
Telling mom.
Oh, is that?
That must be what happened.
Yeah, or you're...
Whoa. Planning. Is this?
No, that's not my conspiracy. I have another one.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Wait. So Chuck's turkey bacon... Things are flying out of Chuck today. Boom. So we're having a Chuck's turkey bacon conspiracy of the week.
Chuck's PER is through the roof.
Is apparently not... that Austin Rivers caught his dad having an affair.
It isn't.
Which I think is a great one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what's this week's conspiracy?
So it has to do with Eggs Benedict, a.k.a. LeBron Cleophas James. And I was doing some research, and there were some very interesting things that happened when LeBron left Cleveland. A certain company purchased a bunch of real estate, the majority of real estate in downtown Cleveland, for thousands of dollars. And... they effectively, once LeBron left, made millions upon millions of, not dollars, but, you know, I think yen. But anyway, so he leaves, he comes back, immediately all of the, you know, real estate just jumps up. We don't know who bought all of this real estate and made the money, but and going through the record, I found a conspiratorial event. It was a company called Bald Under the Band LLC.
Holy shnikes.
Actually purchased all of this property in Cleveland.
So it's all connected.
I'm saying, I don't know what, but it just seems to me that we need to do a little bit more research into that.
Need to go down to City Hall.
Yep.
Get Jake Geddes to maybe go through some records, some files.
It might have something to do, you know, with with what's going on with the Knicks. I know you like numbers. I was reading.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I was reading something about the
huge
Knicks
fan
and how wonderful their terrible team is. It was on SB Nation. And basically, the Knicks started out 1-1, and then were 2-4, and then 3-9, and then 4-16. And
what?
I love it.
Now 5-25, made it to 6-36.
I love the pattern.
That's some square rootage.
Right. The triangle has brought the square root.
This is great.
That's about as good as it'll get. I think they can finish at like 8-64, but we can only pray that we have a square root season.
So if I meet a New York Knick and I give them the secret handshake, they cannot refuse me a favor.
No, it's true. It's all, and it's connected.
I'm going to go up to Langostino Lobster Bites.
Connected to Popovich and his isosceles triangles. We've got square roots. We have LeBron.
That's what I want to see. I want to see when you're opening the land files to see what the consortium that bought the land is. I want to see Popovich's name in there.
His name's going
to be. And it's like, oh, Popovich, he's orchestrated the whole thing.
It's all part
because,
of.
Because you know what?
New World Order.
I think Popovich.
This is some fearsome architecture.
I think maybe Popovich put together the consortium to buy the land in Cleveland before his Spurs beat the Heat.
And then
he's like, you know what? I'm going to beat them down so bad. He's going to go home to Cleveland.
He knew it.
We're going to buy a bunch of, I love it.
Maybe Popovich is behind it. Who knows?
That's what I'm saying.
There's vacant lots in all the different NBA cities that have just obelisks.
Yeah.
That's really good.
What happens, you start pulling threads here and you never know where you'll end up.
I love it. That is Chuck's turkey bacon. Conspiracy theory of the week.
I don't think we can release this podcast.
It's too volatile.
Did we know too
I
much?
I did. Real life, I wondered. There's no rules against an NBA player buying all kinds of real estate in a city. Like, it makes sense for LeBron when he knows what city he's going to.
Yeah.
To buy up all real estate in that downtown.
Yeah.
He should have signed with the Pistons.
There's a lot of cities where, you know, like the downtown is thriving.
Right.
But I assume there are bars in Cleveland that went out of business since he left.
Bars? I think they shut down the Parks and Recreation Department in Cleveland when he left. They like cut the budget in half. He was a third of their economy. Yeah.
When LeBron left, there were no more drinking fountains.
All right. Let's move on now to our awards segment of the evening. And actually, before we get to the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award, an oversight from last week. I don't know if it's going to be a new award, but I felt like this deserves notice. This was news. We could perhaps call it the Latrell Sprewell Milwaukee's Best Walk of Shame Award. This is to the NBA player who perhaps makes the grave mistake of turning down an offered contract.
Oh, Tristan.
And it goes to Tristan Thompson, who I believe there was numerous reports, maybe just one report, but it was reported that he turned down a 4-year, $52 million contract extension.
I think this is a good time. Chuck and I have discussed this. Since Keith created the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award, I also make a habit of texting my two buddies before I make a wager to ask for their betting advice. And I'd like to give Keith the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Betting Advice Award. You are 5-21.
Yes, sir.
John and I have been secretly referring to it as the Parrish line.
I love
it. And you can make a lot of money if you bet against Parrish thinks.
It just happened last night by 1 point.
1 point.
Yeah, and so I feel good about it because John texts me lines, and I don't gamble.
Right.
And so I give him my gut reaction.
You're a happy person.
So I give him my gut reaction, knowing that like that's probably the public gut reaction.
Correct.
Right. So I happily offer it up.
Right.
And be like, now let's go against it.
And I'll always push him. He'll say, I like these. And I'm like, what do you really like?
Yeah.
What's the one?
What's the one that you really like? Oh, I love it.
And you're like, oh, that Jazz Cavs under. Oh, bank it.
Yeah, yeah. So I am happy to be willfully ignorant and provide the common man approach to sports betting. I'm real good at knowing who's going to win. Real bad. I look at those spreads and I'm all like, oh, those seem real hard.
Yeah.
Those all seem accurate.
It takes a specific kind of determination to figure that out.
And when they look wrong, that's when you're really wrong.
All right, so let's get to our Stackhouse nominees. Big week for missed shots. This award goes to the worst performance in a box score. And we say that to specify, we don't watch all the games. I watch a lot of
Keith watches all the games.
I watch most of the games, but a lot of these things, we're not, we're, maybe that guy was playing really good defense. You know what? Right. That's not in the box score.
No. Or so, if he made a that, great play called, at the end.
That's called the Rajon Rondo.
Yeah, yeah. Score. So we have a lot of nominees. We had multiple 1-for-10 games. I had to pick a 1-for-10 game, which just one to go with.
One of the randos.
Deion Waiters had another 1-for-9 game.
Lovely.
CJ Miles keeps having a horrible year. He had a 2-for-13.
Hey, CJ Miles scored 18 points against them.
Not counting what we see in the actual games, just looking at the box scores.
Right.
Bradley Beal, also honorable mention, 5-for-21 and made perhaps the worst defensive play I've ever seen last night when the Thunder inbounding the ball with 3 seconds left, and he chases Westbrook into the backcourt and overplays him so he can cut back and be running towards the basket.
Yes.
You absolutely want the inbound pass to go away from their basket. Like, yes. Why are you chasing him? Anyway.
That Bradley Beal play lives on in infamy.
And also John Wall for standing and allowing a layup because he would prefer him to have an open layup versus kicking it to the corner for an open three.
Right.
Threes are harder than layups. Anyway.
Well, not for Kyle Korver.
Yeah. It was Deion Waiters in that corner. All right. So
he just bismacked Biombo'd you.
All right.
Mutate me.
Our three nominees.
Laid the
bismack
down.
The worst of the 1-for-10 games was Randy Foy.
Ugh.
In garbage time only, points.
Isn't it pronounced Foyer? No.
Foyer.
Vestibule.
Randy Foy, 1-for-10, 4 turnovers, 3 points.
What was his game score?
I think it was -5.7. Randy Foy, 1-for-10 with 4 turnovers. DeMar DeRozan, starting shooting guard. And again, this was a week he had to pick his game.
Yes, DeMar had 2 in a row that were unbelievable.
Starting shooting guard for your Toronto Raptors, 0-for-9. No points. The donut.
That was the Antetokounmpo effect.
And then our weekly nominee, Michael Carter-Williams.
Nobody's touching this.
With a 2-for-13.
Love.
7 points, 4 turnovers, 5 boards. I think DeMar DeRozan, here's what I'm thinking. I don't think Michael Carter-Williams earned it this week.
I don't either.
I think Randy Foy's 1-for-10 with 4 turnovers. And DeMar DeRozan's 0-for-9, no points are both.
And you know how like sometimes the ones like peripheral elements will factor into an awards. Like Heath Ledger, he died, so they gave him that one.
Yeah.
Peter Finch died, so they gave him Best Actor in Network. DeMar DeRozan did it again the very next night.
He did.
I know what he did. I know the other things that happened, DeMar. Yeah,
it was bad.
I'm watching you, bro.
I'm just going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you.
So you're voting for DeMar?
DeMar.
How do you feel, Chuck?
It's hard to go against Michael Carter-Williams on anything because he's so bad.
He's the Meryl Streep of this award.
Oh, man. It's almost like those years in the 90s with the Emmys and Frasier won.
Oh, yeah.
Probably wasn't the...
Frasier swept Seinfeld every year or whatever.
Like, probably he's the Seinfeld of the... He's not going to win.
He's the Niles.
But we should definitely consider him the best of the worst. So he gives a nod, but yeah.
He's got a hyphenated name like David Hyde Pierce.
That's what it is. Randy Foye's line is terrible, and I'll go with that one. I think it's horrible to have 4 turnovers.
So you're going DeRozan, you're going Foy?
Yeah. DeRozan. And remember, Keith's vote is worth 3 votes.
16. No, I'm as the tiebreaker, I am going to vote Randy Foy.
What?
It's a 4 turn. Why is he committing 4 turnovers with
DeMar DeRozan's supposed to be the best player besides Lowry on that team?
He had 2 assists and 4 turnovers. I don't know.
No. Randy Foy only played because someone did something bad.
You know what? You know what? I'm changing my vote. 26 minutes, no points from an all-star.
Yes.
There we go.
All right.
When his only skill is scoring.
Yes, he can't do anything else.
All right.
He was on the national team.
DeMar DeRozan, you are this week's International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award winner. All right, now let's wrap it up with the par fadeaway. Are there things to look forward to this week?
All-star things.
All-star game is coming out this weekend.
Is it coming this week? When's the game?
I guess technically, is it more than 7 days out?
The game is like the 15th, Sunday.
I'm still looking forward to it.
2 weeks after the Super Bowl.
Right. The only all-star game in sports I enjoy.
Yeah. Pro Bowl's terrible. Oh, don't watch the Pro Bowl.
I like the hockey one, but hockey probably doesn't exist to you guys, so
Yeah.
That's true. It does not.
The Venn diagrams of hockey fans and basketball fans are very thin.
I'm excited to see.
I think you're being
racist excited to
now.
See. We haven't talked big picture much in this episode.
Right.
And we have still the Golden State Warriors blazing a trail through the league and the Atlanta Hawks annihilating the league.
I want to see those two teams play a 7-game series right now.
I do.
Like, and I would just like to see those two teams play basketball for.
I just want to see how they keep going. The Bulls, I want to see if they right the ship some. There's some murmurs of maybe unrest and
Tibbs
people getting tired.
Angry.
People getting tired of Tibbs. So I want to see the things keep occurring. Kind of how they've been going. We're getting some separation. And also every Thunder game is exciting.
Yeah. They're great to watch.
It's an amazing combination of great players and poor coaching.
Yeah, and it's really going to be fun to watch the end of the season to see, because nobody wants to play them for 7 games in a playoff series.
I have a gambling buddy who every time Scotty Brooks draws up a play, he goes, "Oh, Scotty drew up a play! Yeah. Oh, he pushed his glasses up his nose! Oh, he's drawing up a play!" It's theorized in the gambling community, Scotty wears those glasses to appear smart. Not prescription glasses.
Probably.
I think that's happened in more than one Hollywood movie with a character.
Yeah.
Oh, let's put glasses on Elizabeth Shue. She'll be a physicist.
That's called the Arnold Schwarzenegger in Junior theorem.
Nice. Yeah.
Junior. So where he got pregnant there.
I was thinking of The Saint with Val Kilmer.
Feel my skin is so soft.
He was swollen.
The hormones.
He was swollen not from AIDS cocktail, but from a baby cocktail.
So yeah, so that I guess that wraps it up. We don't know. There you have it. Some non-specific things to look forward to, other than the gloriously good teams keep on winning, and then the exciting, poorly coached, highly talented teams to keep on doing their entertaining things. Check us out on Twitter at Fast Break Break,
and stay tuned for the Grizz epilogue.
Yeah, we'll be talking Grizzlies lineups right after the break. So you
no
guys,
Chuck this week, so no chuckles.
Yeah, you guys have a good one, and remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right, welcome to the Grizzlies epilogue.
No longer an epitaph. 3-1 this week.
Our faithful Grizzlies listeners and other NBA nerds who just can't get enough.
Z-Bo is back.
Z-Bo is on an incredible run.
DJ Jazzy Jeff is here.
The Jazzy Jeff is
here. He wasn't here last night, but he was here for the rest of the week.
So I want to talk about this last week. We've had 4 games culminating in last night. The Grizzlies beat the Raptors on Wednesday night in a game where the starting lineup changed. Jeff Green entered the starting lineup. What are your immediate reactions?
No.
That's good. That's brief. It's concise.
That's right.
My reaction is similar. I really liked when they acquired Jeff Green. We talked last week about how I really liked how the Grizzlies starting lineup with Lee and Allen on the wings. I thought they should keep it. I thought it works very well together. The drawback is that there's no obvious guy to guard a large forward or like a small forward, but I feel like that occurs with not that many teams where it's that much of an issue. And even last night when you have a DeRozan who's kind of tall, but not really, that's a totally fine matchup.
Long-armed.
Yeah, that's a totally fine matchup for a Lee or Allen. So you leave those guys in with a starting lineup that has this chemistry, and then having Jeff Green on the second unit, he provides more aggressiveness, more length, that athleticism we like. And because of him coming in, then you can rotate in that 9-man rotation where then Vince Carter can play some backup too. And then if you want to bring back another guy in, then you can slide Jeff Green to the 4. It just seemed to make more sense. So with Jeff Green starting, I mean, obviously anytime you change a lineup this many games into the season, it's going to be awkward and it's going to be a little rough. And that's what we saw. The Grizzlies' defense played well defending the first shot, but then they rebounded terribly. They weren't moving towards the ball. A lot of second-chance opportunities.
It was also a strange game. The Raptors were simultaneously extremely unlucky while being lucky. They couldn't shoot
at all,
but every rebound went to them, and it wasn't always
hustle.
It wasn't always hustle. It was just like, how did that ball go there?
Right.
But that game was like a horror movie for me. Because we were winning, but it didn't seem like we should have been winning.
It seemed amazing the Grizzlies won.
Yes. And then it was like, it was a little bit like Jurassic Park. And I kept waiting for like, except in this case, the Velociraptor doesn't learn how to open a door.
Okay.
It just learns how to shoot. Or like DeMar DeRozan starts being DeMar DeRozan.
Right. Well, that's what, it's one of those things where you're in a game that's close and the Grizzlies were winning almost the whole time by just like a few.
Right.
But the Raptors were shooting so terribly where it seemed like the kind of game where you just let a team hang around and there's, it seems inexplicable you're only up by one or something.
It was a miserable game.
But then they did execute. I will say, as someone who...
Only 5 minutes for Vinsanity, though. Thumbs up.
Yeah, well, Vince... that was the thing in the first half. So Vince Carter came in and pretty much played the four.
Right.
There was a lineup of Bano Udrih, and then they brought Tony Allen back in, and then Courtney Lee, and then Vince Carter and Kosta Koufos. That's crazy business.
We threw out an all-white dude lineup.
Crazy business.
It was a strange game.
It was a strange game. I tell you the one thing I loved. If you've listened to us much, I spoke poorly of John Luehr all the time.
Yes.
A careful listener understands that we always spoke bad of him because we didn't want him to be our seventh man or eighth man. I loved him. I thought Jaeger putting him in last night in the fourth quarter was a great move. When he came on the court, I was excited.
Yeah, when you just use him as an energy guy.
It's one of those things where you're like, we're getting beat to all these rebounds. We're getting beat to all these loose balls. We don't really have a backup power forward. Just put John Luehr in, and you need that energy, and that's the kind of things, that's where you're happy to have a guy like John Luehr on your team.
Yeah, it's like when you used to put in like Stromile Swift for 6 minutes.
Because that's all he could focus.
Just dunk on somebody and get out of here.
So, I mean,
for Luehr, it's, you know, go grab some loose balls and get out.
He did a good job of getting some defensive rebounds, and him hitting that first open, like, 17-footer gave the team energy. Like,
that was a classic, no, yes.
I was excited. Well, he was so open, I was like, yes. And then his next two were no. Like, you got carried away. You did real good. One thing I have liked, this has been going on for a while. So Jaeger pretty much shortened the leash to only playing about 9 guys, only with maybe throwing in that the Nick Calathes closer role every now and then.
So weird.
I really enjoy, in the first halves, I think he's doing a great job of the way he's bouncing the rotation outside of last night against the Raptors game where I thought it was weird having Jeff Green in that lineup. He's subbing out Mike Conley first.
Yep.
Six minutes in. I said, I don't think it is ankles. This is before this is before he twisted his ankle. He was doing this. I made a note of it. I meant to say it last week. I just think it's a great thing to get him off the court, to get Bano in with some first team minutes, and then you can bring Mike back in earlier and he can run with the second unit, and then there's less of a drop off. So I have really been enjoying that.
And Bano really does seem legit too at this point to me, offensively.
And we do need to give him credit. Bano's Portland game, mm-hmm. 7-for-7 with that awesome clutch shot.
He's our own little Vinny Johnson. He's our microwave.
He really is. And something about his attitude is a real thing. Mm-hmm. Like
Have you noticed his interaction with the players? He's always the first guy to go up and do the weird handshakes.
Oh yeah, no, the man is just, his Twitter is nonstop positive.
I'm gonna get an Udrih jersey.
Oh,
and wear it with no undershirt.
That's deep. That's next level.
Side boob.
We can all look forward to that. So the Grizzlies lost this week. The one loss was to the Mavs, which was a tough game.
We did not lose to the Mavs. We lost to Dirk Nowitzki.
Dirk.
All by himself. He scored the last 8 points.
Dirk came through. And that was a game where, I don't know, it's like you're playing a real good team. The Grizzlies had a lot of trouble defending the pick and roll. The big guys didn't shoot that. Like, Mark missed a lot of makeable shots. Mike Conley wasn't really shooting. Jeff Green was atrocious. He was 0-for-5 from downtown. Not atrocious, full stop. Sorry, right. He was atrocious shooting from the outside. He actually played, I think, a very good game.
I did notice that Tyson Chandler, who can't rebound at all, went nuts in that game.
And he always does that. He gets off the ground better than any Grizzlies. So
yeah,
game against a Grizzly, he'll always have a lot of back taps.
We cannot face the Mavericks in the playoffs. That's a worst case scenario.
Yeah. It's not a good matchup, and one of the big things for me, this is also another rotation question. In the one thing I don't like, one trend I am not enjoying, I'm worried we're going to have to start the free Tony Allen hashtag. Or the free Tony. In the Mavs game, he played 17 minutes.
That's not right.
He was not around in the fourth quarter.
And Monte Ellis was lighting us up.
And then in the Trailblazers game, even though it's a win, he only got 18 minutes.
What's going on here?
Well, I mean, they're giving...
Give me your inner Dave Yeager.
Well, all right. I think...
Mind meld with Yeager. What do they call it in that horrible monster movie?
Oh, I thought
Pacific
we were...
Rim?
I thought we were...
When you go to the Yeager, when you mind meld, you tap into the stream, you...
I don't remember.
You... Del Toro. Guillermo del Toro.
I'm sorry. The Pacific Rim reference. I don't remember what they called it. Yeah,
it's best to just excise that movie from your memory.
Yeah. So I think they're obviously playing it. They want to have Jeff Green. Yeager has stated he's working hard to integrate Jeff Green and what they're doing.
Right.
And their goal is to get him integrated as fast as possible. They're playing him down the stretch. And I think there's the feeling that if he's playing, you can't have another non-shooter, so you have to have Lee out there. I just love, I don't know, I feel like the grit grind essence of the Grizzlies is Zach Randolph and Tony Allen scrapping for loose balls.
Yeah, I actually think this, and statistics will not bear out, you know, unless you get deeper into some advanced stuff, but I know that Tony's percentages are down, and he seems like the type of guy you can't play late in a game, but I love Tony Allen late in games.
Me too.
It's a very double-edged sword.
Sure.
But he comes up with huge plays. And since we've added Jeff Green and teams respect him despite his kind of paltry percentages, him and Gasol really had something going on there.
Yeah. I mean, and that leads to the good thing that I guess we could say, a thing we've now seen after four games, the best thing of Jeff Green is twofold. It's him scoring in transition.
Yeah.
He can put the ball on the floor and just get to the rim for a layup. And it's so funny.
A layup? I think you mean dunk.
Yeah, but it's so funny as someone who's watched the Grizzlies, like every Grizzlies game for 11 years, it's almost like I forgot that a Grizzly was allowed to like catch the ball 30 feet from the basket and take one dribble and glide towards the goal and score easily. I'm like, oh! Look how easy that two was. Like, I forgot twos were that easy.
You forgot about Rudy Gay's entire existence already.
Yeah, I did. and then his next thing is he has a very good catch radius, like an NFL wide receiver. Gasol has not been super accurate throwing him passes yet, but Jeff Green catches them. And man, having that cutter for Gasol to get assists to is fantastic.
He's the anti Ed Davis.
Yes, he catches passes. So I don't know. I think it's going to be the next couple games are Sixers and someone else not good. I want to say the Magic.
We just played the Magic.
I think we play the Magic at home. Two more home game. Yeah, it's Sixers, the Magic, elf. And then on the road to the Mavs. So it's going to be hard. You assume these next two games. Are going to be some of those joyless, we just have to win these, we're playing bad Eastern Conference teams. But it's going to be interesting to see how they integrate the whole lineups. I don't think that second unit can function, because if you use up those three, Mark, Zach, and Jeff Green, those are our three guys with size who play any minutes.
Right.
Well, I mean, not counting Costa, who's going to keep getting run.
Who's playing very well lately.
He's been playing great. Yeah. And I would still love to see him get more minutes. Like,
I love, and I mean love, Costa and Mark together.
Yeah.
I think you could do some Zeebo second unit.
Yeah.
There's the first bleep of the day. First legitimate bleep.
Yeah. The other ones will be awkward for words.
Yeah.
But
those are medical terms.
Right. You're right. So it's interesting to see how we can much Costa. Cause I think really, I mean, again, we're in the regular season, so they're still going to work out some stuff. They're going to involve more players. The question is going to be when it gets to playoff time, what are those crunch time units going to be? And I hope they're not playing Tony because of they'd rather have someone else in the game. I hope it's more, let's just work hard at getting Jeff Green integrated and let's give him some more time. But I just think,
I agree. Cause we've seen this movie before, Tony, and it might just be a Jedi mind trick where Tony needs to start.
Yep.
He wants to start.
Yes.
He does not want to come off the bench. So maybe if that's what they're doing, then I'm fine with it. But if it turns into a Tony 15 minutes a night thing,
I just think
Yama will be sad.
When I think of big playoff moments for the Grizzlies, or even big game moments, like the end of last season when they had to win games. And I think of scrums. I think of scrums in the final minute of a game where the ball's on the ground, there's a bunch of missed shots, the people are flying everywhere, and then out of the blue, a Grizzly gets the ball and hits a layup.
Yeah.
And in my mind, so much of that is just Tony Allen willing himself to get the ball and Zach Randolph willing himself to get the ball. And it's like, those are the things, those are the, I don't know if it's intangible, there might be a way to measure it. But those
probably
are things,
some like sports VU thing,
right,
we could purchase that for a few hundred bills.
Like, even though Courtney Lee is a shooter, I don't feel like people especially guard him that tight where it has the same effect, where I'd rather have a guy who does everything.
You know, Courtney Lee is a lot scrappier than people give credit for.
He's a scrappy player. He's a good defender.
Yeah, and if you recall, one of the best plays is that play where he like dislocated his knee to steal a ball
and hopped right back up. Yeah.
But I will say this, I think Jeff Green fits in with the Grizz mentality more than Courtney Lee. I know that sounds like sacrilege looking at Courtney Lee's incredible shooting percentages this year, but I also think those percentages are kind of unsustainable. And if you were to ask me who, you know, if someone has to get their minutes slashed, to me, it's not Tony Allen, it's Courtney Lee.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. I love Courtney,
which is very interesting because Courtney Lee and Jeff Green are really good friends.
Yeah.
And apparently, I was listening to Chris Vernon interview Jeff Green earlier today, and Jeff Green was saying like Courtney Lee was like kind of recruiting him.
Yeah.
Like Courtney Lee was like, Jeff Green, come to Memphis, and Jeff Green's like, I can't transfer. Thank college, you know. Whatever. But then he got his wish. But it is super.
That's the difference between a Georgetown and Western Kentucky education, right there.
Oh, and today Thursday, they're retiring Courtney Lee's college number.
Man, he...
That is a deep cut for you guys.
Courtney Lee, a Hilltopper.
But it is interesting
to have
Courtney Lee want this guy to come to his team, and now he's going to take minutes and his starting spot as of last night.
Hey, that's a good situation, though, where it's a bro taking your minutes.
Well, and that's one of the good things. Where it seems like Jeff Green, from what he was saying, is good friends with most of the Grizzlies. He's had interaction with them.
NBA is a very small world now, and that's why you don't have the hated rivalries anymore.
It's true. But I think that pretty much wraps up. I mean, we didn't go game by game.
I just want to say, Blazers, we own you. Sorry.
It is a good year to be the Grizzlies who own the Warriors and the Blazers.
Yep. Those
teams are ahead.
Yep.
And the Blazers with LaMarcus Aldridge is going to miss some games. A chance for the Grizzlies to move up to two.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies, I'm going to say, I didn't look this up. The Grizzlies have never been in the two spot in the West.
And I don't think they will. Don't get your hopes
too high. They could. They're a half game behind.
I know, but I don't think they're going to finish.
No, I'm not. I'm not. Yeah. I don't know.
Right.
Grizzlies are a playoff team. I've always said it. They are not a regular season squad.
Yeah.
I
don't want the two. That's
the Warriors
like
are
going to
keep beating people by 15 and 17. Yeah. But
Spurs will get up there.
I think these losses this week, I think it's a good week in the fact that the Grizzlies beat what they played.
Loss singular.
Yeah, I mean, they played the Raptors, the Mavs, the Trailblazers. You're happy to get two of those three. Yes, they're home games. You want to win all three, but like two out of three is not bad.
Right, and Magic gave us their best game of the year.
And then you beat the Magic, and then you beat the Nets right before that. So you're happy.
Yeah, Alfred the Usurper had his best game, and we smacked him back down.
Mainly, I would like to see Zach Randolph's been so amazing.
Double-double machine.
But I would... Their numbers, the minute numbers of Zach and Mark the last few games, they're a little too high.
I mean, I agree.
Like
around 35, 36 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's too much.
Ideally, I want Zach playing 30 minutes a game.
Yeah.
You know, regular season Mark, 35 or less if we can get him out. Mainly, I want to see more Tony Allen.
Yes.
And I hope Vince Carter comes back.
Think it's happening.
I found it so interesting in that Raptors-Grizzlies game that our former love James Johnson got no minutes in the second half, and a big Grizzlies offseason acquisition Vince Carter also had no minutes in the second half. Those are some those are some GMs who are like, well, whatever.
thy fearful symmetry.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So yeah, it's gonna be this team. I don't want to get too hyperbolic. This team has like a good. Some kind of good chemistry. They got a good flow. They got a good feel for each other. They seem to be nice guys. They seem to get along.
First time since I've become a fan that I'm hearing us bandied about as a potential finals team.
Yeah.
From some respected names. Bill Simmons, who right. knows his NBA if the Celtics aren't involved.
It's true. So you hope that they stay focused, they keep working hard. And I'm curious to see how the lineup's going to balance. Because again, it's interesting with no true size, with only Kufus as like anyone who can guard, be a front court player, how they're going to balance these minutes and what they're going to do with the second units.
I'm very curious if there's another trade in the works, but I'm not sure how it would work. But we seem willing to move assets for this year.
It's true. All right. Well, thanks for listening. That wraps up the Grizzlies epilogue. Tell a friend about us. You can find us on Twitter at Fast Break Break.
Subscribe, download, leave us a review.
Oh, rate and review.
Write a review.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
That'll do, Grizz.